Welcome, viewers, to our next episode of the Shift podcast, where we're bringing experts from across sales, RevOps, account management to share their learnings and insights on moving towards a digital key account management journey. My guest today is Ethan Trifari. He is the director with Captech Consulting, and he will be sharing his experience with digital key account management and what are some learnings which he has that he can share with our viewers out there. So welcome, Ethan. Really nice to have you with us here today.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and be talking with you today.
Thank you. So Ethan, tell us a bit about your journey and what you guys do at Captech Consulting.
Yes. So Captech is a smaller mid-sized consultancy. We focus on developing innovative technology solutions to solve business problems. And our primary approach for building relationships is doing great work and building really strong, trusting relationships with our clients.
Okay. So Ethan, we've seen post-pandemic that, over 60% of sales actually went the digital route. Right. And the future also will see a lot of digital transformation happening across different areas. So how did you identify the need to adopt a digital approach to key account management?
Yeah, it's a great question. So as I mentioned, we're small, right? We don't have the same, raw advertising resources or brand equity that the larger competitors have. And so how do we win more work? Well, we do that through really doing our best to build and influence our clients through doing great work and building that trust with them. And that's something that I think we do really well. In fact, the vast majority of our sales historically have come through client referrals and through existing relationships. And a very small percentage of our new growth comes through what you'd call like outbound marketing or anything else. But when COVID-19 hits, your point, it kind of threw a wrench in our overall strategy. All of a sudden everyone went remote and we found ourselves at a pretty big disadvantage. We no longer could rely on, walking the halls and being engaged physically in person with our clients and generating that organic conversation, through lunches, through coffees, through happy hours. We were basically cut off from our primary channel of business development that we've relied upon for all these years. And so it was at that point where, we said, hey, we need to do something differently, right? We're not going to be able to compete with our competitors, without having some way of staying relevant with our customers. And so one of the most important things we did was we said we need to prioritize creating and implementing a digital account and relationship strategy that we could hopefully leverage to, help us retain or maybe even grow our key relationships in this new, remote world.
Okay, interesting. So what factors did you actually consider while shifting towards this digital key account management route?
Yeah, I think there were a few things that were top of mind for me. I think top of my list was, I wanted to find a way to have a more data-driven approach to our relationship strategy and management. And the reason this is so high on my list is because as consultants, this is exactly what we do for our clients. We help them understand and define a business problem. We collect data and we use that data to help inform our customers on making decisions that produce positive outcomes for their organization. And we help clients be really successful using this approach, but we have yet to turn that lens on ourselves and figure out how to use that same approach to help improve our own outcomes through managing our accounts, relationships with a more data-driven approach and strategy.
Okay.
I think the second thing that was on my list was culture. Culture change and people change it's hard. It requires a lot of proactive and sustained communication across a variety of stakeholder groups. And we knew that if we wanted to be successful in this shift of approach, we needed to find a way to not only influence, broad change of behaviors across our company, but also that we need to find a way to make it stick, persist through aligning our incentives and the way that we're measuring things to reflect the business outcomes that we really care about and value as a business.
Okay.
And then the third thing on my list was tooling. You can have the best approach out there and you can have a workforce that's ready for change, but if you don't have the infrastructure and tooling for folks to do the work, it's going to cause a lot of frustration, inconsistencies, operational hurdles. And so we knew to support this change, we really need to invest in infrastructure that could, you know, uplift our workforce and make their jobs easier while removing some of those roadblocks and overhead that were a challenge today.
Okay. So, you know, typically moving to any of these new processes or change management in itself comes along with its set of challenges. So what were some of those challenges that we encountered while making this shift?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about data. You know, I'm very passionate about you know, leveraging data to make better decisions. And one of the first things that we encountered, at least from my purview, was I'll call it data hygiene, or you can call it data governance too. You know, we were collecting a lot of data, right, as part of this new process. And we know that data doesn't really mean much if the quality of it is poor or inconsistent across groups, right? And so when we first started collecting all this data to support this approach, we learned that there were a lot of pitfalls and complexities with capturing that kind of data at scale, right? As an example, we were trying to collect data attributes from our customers around their, you know, level of maturity and advocacy with our firm. Well, we didn't do a great job of providing clear governance and definitions of what those values were. And as a result, we found that there were not only inconsistencies across, you know, our organization, a lot of inaccuracies as well. And another challenge we found was a lack of, I'll call it, data validation, right? We're capturing a lot of unstructured data, you know, think free form text kind of information. And as a result, our inputs varied widely. You had some folks writing long essays for some fields, and folks putting like a number, right? And it made it really hard for us to aggregate that data and come up with any type of meaningful metrics around how we were doing against our goals. How well are we growing? How are we influencing our clients? And that was a big challenge for us.
Okay.
I think another challenge that just came with COVID with you know, being digital, was staying relevant with our customers. You know, I mentioned we went from being physically present in the lives of our customers to being almost completely absent. And we learned that we had to get creative with how we were staying relevant and touching base with our customers. It's really easy to have organic conversation when you're there in person, when you're grabbing coffee. Sure. It can feel sometimes more forced when you're pushing that digitally, right? And so we had to put more rigor into our influencing strategy, right? And maybe make some adjustments along the way too. We had to determine where to invest our, you know, relationship capital, where it would make sense to target the right influencers. We had to put a lot more thought into our, what I'll call it, our content strategy, right? What I mean by that is we had to think a lot harder around, you know, what type of messaging or stories would be most relevant to which customers, right? And making it personalized. That's something that I think in this new digital world, we had a lot less time with folks. So we had to make sure that every single minute we had with everybody counted to the maximum, and personalizing our story was really a key part of that. And then the other part was, and I mentioned we had to do some more influencer mapping, you know, figuring out, you know, what parts of the organization do we want to get to, and who we know that can help us get there. And we had to think more strategically around how do we leverage our existing strong relationships to make instructions, to make referrals, to share, you know, new knowledge. And that became more important for us in this new world. And then the last thing that was a challenge, I would say, was, I mentioned this before, was culture, right? Culture change. Having to reinforce new desired behaviors. We weren't not very disciplined around using a common approach. We didn't have common measures. We weren't all at the time using common tooling. And we didn't really have a plan for how we were going to enforce or measure those outcomes going forward. And so those are all things we had to figure out as we were making this shift.
So there are a lot of challenges that you had to encounter while making this shift. So you mentioned about some of the issues with respect to data, right? So where you said some of them are filling paragraphs of, they were writing essays there, and few of them were just putting numbers in. And there was also a lot of mapping which had to be done with respect to who are the influencers and, you know, how do we map them and how do we strategize that? So this obviously requires a lot of effort on the change management side as well. So how did you go about championing this so that the adoption was equally good?
Yeah. So, excuse me. So two big ideas here that I was a big fan of. One idea is success begets success, meaning that when you have one area of your business that's really crushing it in terms of, you know, in this case, relationship development, demand generation, mm-hmm. it's going to cause the rest of the organization to turn their heads to be like, what are these guys doing that's different that's causing that success? And so we really started with the approach of, hey, if we do the right things in, let's say, a small segments of our business, and other folks see it and understand why they're successful and how they can, you know, also adopt those practices to be successful, they're going to be more likely to adopt these approaches than if we force it upon them, you know, wholesale, right? And so we invested a lot into identifying who are our champions of change, right? Who are those leaders, account managers who we know will be on board to help us drive organizational change, and who can help us actually develop and model those best practices for other parts of the firm to learn from and leverage. It took a bit of experimenting, but once we developed, you know, those set of common processes and governance for those champions to run with, they almost immediately saw some lift in their business, and that resulted in folks across the organization, you know, actually proactively reaching out to us and saying, you know, how can we get on board with this, right? How can we start leveraging these approaches? And then the other thing that I'm really big on is I had a mentor who told me early on in my career, he said, what gets measured gets done, right?
Yeah.
What you're measuring is oftentimes the results that folks are going to be managing to. And so when we first started the shift, we really quickly realized that what we were measuring, our key measures, were not entirely aligned to the type of behaviors and outcomes that we actually cared about as a firm. And as a result, we saw a disconnect between what we said we wanted versus what we were actually doing to make it happen. And so we put some thought, really kind of whiteboarded and you know, started from scratch around recreating those measures, you know, as it relates to our customer relationship management, our strategy there, to really be aligned to the types of behaviors that we wanted and expected from our leaders and the outcomes that we value as a firm.
Okay. So Ethan, you mentioned earlier that having the right infrastructure and tools are equally important if you need to succeed in a digital key account management space. So what are some of the benefits that you and the organization have seen by using a tool for digital account management?
Yeah. Going back to the data, right? Having a more data-driven approach allowed us to be more strategic at scale with our account management, right? Mm-hmm. While I wouldn't say relationship management is a science, I think having a data strategy and governance behind it enriches the process. It makes it more understandable, more scalable, more repeatable, right? It allows us to very clearly articulate expectations through measures, through standards, through SLAs. And it's something, quite honestly, that we could not do at scale prior to implementing this approach, right? Yeah. I think another benefit that we saw that really, I'm not sure any of us really expected, was more inclusivity, right? And what I mean by that is we were able to bring and activate more of a workforce into that process of managing relationships and developing business and empowering them to make decisions. It was almost like us having that data available democratized the process. You no longer had, you know, a few key people across the organization who owned everything. Mm-hmm. We made that available, and that really enabled folks across our firm to say, hey, I can do this too. I understand what our strategy is. How can I help? Right. And so it allowed us to really share, share that process with folks and bring them in and activate them as an activated workforce to be part of that. And then the last thing is more consistency, right? We saw in the past that we had different terms, different ways of referring to things, different, ways of recognizing folks. And that caused a lot of pain for us because when it came to, you know, aggregating our information across our firm, it was really hard to measure like performance because we had different ways of measuring, right? Mm-hmm. And so having that consistency across our firm, across each account, allowed us to, you know, in my opinion, to more effectively scale and more effectively measure our success.
Okay. My last question to you, Ethan, would be, what are some lessons that you've had in your journey right now in this digital key account management space, which you would like to share with other sales leaders and key account managers out there who are right now contemplating to make this shift or are still unsure whether this is the right thing for them to do?
Yeah, I'd say the first thing for me is we saw a lot of success in, I'll say, starting small, thinking big, but starting small and taking a hypothesis-driven approach for implementing change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every company is different. Everyone has their own unique culture, their strengths, their challenges. And so there is likely not one approach you could take for implementing and managing and adopting an approach like this, right? And oftentimes the best way to implement large-scale change is to test and learn at a small scale and expand organically through what you learn, right? Mm-hmm. And so to develop a hypothesis for how you can accomplish your objectives. And importantly, thinking about how are you going to test that? What data are you going to collect to measure, you know, success mm-hmm. and adjust course where needed? And mm-hmm. by iteratively testing and learning as you go, you'll quickly get to an approach that will actually work for your organization and that will scale organically and work as a model for how you can, you know, manage that change.
Okay.
The second thing, which I mentioned earlier, is, you know, finding your champions, right? Finding your sponsors, finding the folks in your organization who you know will help carry the burden of the change and be your advocates on the ground to influence in the right direction for your firm. Mm-hmm. What we learned from our experience is the best way to scale your impact is by empowering others to kind of share that, right? To be the champion alongside you and to really share in both the implementation, but also the vision.
True.
And then I think the last thing I'll say is really think about what your competitive advantages are, what your strengths are, and find ways to extend that through your digital relationship strategy. You know, at Capstack, I mentioned that we're really good at doing great work and building great trusting relationships with our customers. And when it came to our digital strategy, we kept those same ideas front center at the core, right? Mm-hmm. We did not take a shotgun approach for building relationships. When COVID hit, we didn't all of a sudden throw out what made us, you know, unique and what made us, you know, strong before that. We found ways to extend that through our digital approach. We took a very surgical approach for, you know, an intentional approach for how we identified our key influencers. We built trusting relationship, expanded that from there, through our kind of what makes us, you know, strong in the first place.
Okay. So Ethan, you know, I had quite a lot of interesting learnings in this conversation. So one, I think in this digital world, it's imperative to use data that can help you to kind of scale up relationships and target accounts in a lot more, you know, transparent manner and kind of even leverage some of the white spaces which are available. It's important to identify the champions out there who are going to stand by your side and, you know, take this change initiative forward. And last but not the least, I think big and start small. And so I think some very interesting insights for the viewers out there. Really loved our conversation and thanks a lot once again for being part of the show.
Thanks for having me. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.